This is the Pete and Sebastian Show with Pete Corielli and Sebastian Maniscalco.
Jimmy from Boston. Bisque, I saw the workout pictures in the video you posted. You know the one where you're curling 18 pounds and sweating like fucking Patrick Ewing at the foul line. Listen to me, kid. That shit ain't motivational. It's embarrassing. So put the weights down and pick the microphone up. Say it with me. Weights down, microphone up.
Pete and Sebastian Show, we're back, we're video. How you doing? By the way, Sebastian Maniscalco, of course, we all know on the other end. We've been doing this years together. What's going on now, officially, when will these, are these going to be coming out now, the show, on a certain date every time now? You're fucking posing like a cologne model right now? Bro, you're getting better looking, it's getting awkward. What are you doing, guy?
I was actually looking at my neck. Someone told me at a party I had on Sunday that my neck looked good.
Wow. Bro, I mean, you're losing weight, man. Who knew when you were at that party with Adele that the two of you would drop about $1.30 between the both of you over the course of a year?
Oh, man. I don't know when this stuff comes out. I really don't. I don't know. We got to get on a consistent basis when this thing comes out.
New podcasts will come out on Saturday mornings, and the video from that same show will be on YouTube on Wednesdays. Okay, guy?
We're getting our footing back. You know, we're on the way to getting these shows back on a regular basis. So I don't know when the hell these come out, but we'll get back to you on that. That's all I know is we're making them, and people are listening and watching to watching them. Let's get right in to a doctor's appointment I had yesterday. Oh, now, still got the sciatic pain going down the legs. All right, I had a woman come in two nights ago, and she did some excellent body work on me. Still a problem though. I'm having a guy come today that does cupping. Okay. So,
you tried cupping before though, right?
I've had it done, but not for this specific reason. So he's going to come today for an hour, do some cupping. I had an MRI today. We'll find out exactly what the problem is by the end of the week. But let's get into a doctor's appointment I went on yesterday just to, I'm all about prevention at this point.
Oh, all right.
We had a family member pass away a couple weeks ago, 49 years old of cancer. I don't want to go down that road, so I want to be here for a while. So I'm in this preventative mode. So I went to get some blood drawn at the doctor's office just so they could do some tests and analysis. Now, I don't like to see the needle go in, right? So I turn away, and she's, you know, getting the gloves and this and that and the other thing. And I don't know if you've ever had this happen. You ever have anybody stick a needle in you and you go, that didn't feel right?
Is this supposed to be like this?
No, that's incorrect.
Not in what way, man?
In a way where it's painful. It's like, I've had my, you know, arm pricked before with a needle to draw blood. And this one don't feel right. Eh?
Yeah. So, oh, shit. Where did it go? Where was it?
It's in my arm, but I'm not looking.
All right.
Right? I'm not looking. I got my, and she goes, you all right? And I go, yeah. You know, kind of like half-assed. And then she goes, let your fist release, right? And then I hear, you can't give me a on a blood draw.
Wow. And a in medical world is the equivalent to a real life, what the fuck? You know what I'm saying? That's right. And they know that. They know they don't even want to be saying hmm. They know that's a big deal. So if they're saying hmm.
If they're saying hmm, mm-hmm. That's an unsolicited hmm. That's almost like they didn't plan on saying that. This is the way I'm looking at it. They didn't plan on saying that. Mm. They went hmm. And then in their head, they go, oh, shit, I shouldn't have said that.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I hear hmm. And then a couple seconds go by, and she goes, nothing's coming out.
By the way, bro, I'm still laughing at you. Can't give me a hmm on a blood draw. That one slipped by me for a sec. What the fuck? All right, so now she's trying to get blood, and there's no blood. That's scary.
Right. I look. The needle's hanging out of my bicep. Like, it's up here, mid-bicep. No vein, nothing. Come on, man. What, are you just going to think you're going to prick me and blood starts to flow?
There's a reason they strap that thing around their arm when they're doing heroin, honey. It's not a fashion move. We're looking for a vein. My God, I'm telling you, it's a pandemic. You can't get good help. You can't get a nurse to know to find a vein, guy. Fuck.
So then I look, and the thing's hanging out of my bicep. She goes to the door. She's like, Andrea, could you come in here? Oh, come on. You can't start calling out reinforcements like that. You at least got to go, excuse me one second. I'll be right back. And then panic. You just don't open the door and tell Andrea to run in.
No, when she's not even addressing you first and she's just yelling for Andrea, oh my God. I mean, and we still got the needle dangling out.
Still got the needle dangling out. Then she takes the needle out. So then some blood starts to come out, right? Because I guess the needle was acting as like almost a cork.
Yeah, she stabbed you.
She got stabbed.
You fucking stabbed that.
It's an assault.
Absolutely. I'll get my Jewish lawyer on the horn right after this, bro. There's $100,000 easy coming your way.
So I'm dripping, like, you know, and no cotton swab, nothing to stop the drip on the bicep or the blood coming out, nothing. So Andrea gets to work. You know, she does a whole day, hey, you know what, do your hand three times, one, two, and then we start to see vascularity, right?
All right.
So she draws the blood, and funny thing, before I even started with the blood draw,
yeah,
I was going to ask her, what's the strangest thing you've seen on a blood draw? Someone feigning. Did the blood come out and it was yellow? Like, what have you seen? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But I said, you know what? Forget it. I don't want to. I didn't want to talk to her. And I've done this many other times on a doctor's appointment. I don't like to talk to anybody that's doing something like that on me in fear that they can't do two things at once.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right? I'm feeling like if I asked her a question and she started to answer, the thing would start to fly all over the room. So,
bro, it's the same reason I don't chat with my Valvoline guy. I feel like he'll give me only four quarts of oil, not the fifth quart, because I got him talking. He loses count. Same thing. I'm right there with you.
I do that at the bank, too. I don't talk to the teller because I don't want them fucking up the count. Right.
Right. So what I want to know before we go any further is, do you feel when you go to draw blood from somebody and you miss the vein, do you feel you have a right to go try again, or do you got to get somebody else? Like, you don't get a second chance. Go get your supervisor to do it, like Andrea.
Yeah, there's no second. You get one shot. You screw that up. Even if she tried to do it again, I'd tell her, you got to get a medical professional in here. I felt like I was the first guy that she had to draw blood after school. Like, like right. She graduated, and like in the morning they were saying, ooh, aren't you excited? You're going to do your first patient today. That's what I felt like I got the trainee.
Yeah, yeah, that was a first stab without having to go, oh, Professor Johnson, can you come over here for a minute, right? Oh, my God. Oh, I can't believe she didn't pull it out of you before she went and got Andrea.
No, it's just in there, dangling.
All right.
So that we did that yesterday, and then I had the MRI today. It was an open-aired MRI, so that meant it's not closed in. The back is open because I can't go into a closed thing. I'll freak out. Yeah. But here's what they gave me today. Laid down, and they put this, like, bridge over my head with a mirror that when you looked at it, you could see through the window outside of the room, and you could see the street. Right. And I start to go, I go, Get this thing off me because this is worse than being in a tube. So I did that to get the MRI on this hip or this the spine to see what's going on. So it's all coming together, man. The weight loss, the blood draw, and this MRI. Yeah. Hopefully everything irons out to be okay. And that's where I'm at right now.
I got an MRI for my knee and for my hip. So I had a couple, you know, over the past couple of years, too. And I got to say, man, it's a nice job, the MRI tech. I mean, every time I go, she's got a book. She puts me in the machine. She puts music on. She reads a book. It's like easy peasy working the MRI machine. That's a nice gig, man. That's one of those gigs you could do hungover. You know what I mean? Shit.
Oh God. Yeah. No. She means she's reading a book to you, or she's reading a book.
She's reading a book. I see the book next to her. She gives me music. She's like, you're in there for 25-30 minutes or something. And she's flipping through a book, and then she has a beep. She puts a bookmark in there, gets me out, brings in the next person. You know, she's been paid to read all day. Like baking. She's just cooking people all day like cookies, you know? So.
Is the MRI X-ray?
Yeah, it's like a really deep X-ray. It's like the thing about the MRI is the MRI can answer so many questions like that. But most doctors, they make you do all this other bullshit before they give you the MRI. Like, well, let's try a da-da-da, and now we'll give you an X-ray. Well, you know, because I guess they're expensive and the insurance companies don't like to give them out. But if you're serious about what you're trying to do, the money you make, bro, you got to top Rogan. You need to buy your own MRI machine.
I thought about it.
Dude, you feel a little chest pain? Tell Lana to pause the movie. You go bop in there. You look on the screen. Ah, heartburn. Where are we? Go back to the movie.
How nice. How nice would that be?
Oh, God.
Have your personal MRI in the house. You feel anything. You're diagnosed on the spot. I mean, would it be that hard to diagnose yourself?
It's incredibly hard.
If you looked at the screen and saw something going on, like if you had a book, a reference book, and they said, if you see this, it means boom.
Yeah, I think you need a doctor to do a one-time walkthrough. Like, you ever have a doctor show you an X-ray and goes, oh, you see that gray blur up there on the left? I see that, but I wouldn't have thought twice about that until you tell. That's, it ends up, you know, so once you know that stuff. But, bro, not only that. You're not, what kind of neighbor would you be? Like, I had to take my dog last week, $500 to the vet overnight because we thought it wasn't shit and we thought it ate like one of Sadie's toys. You're my neighbor? I do a hard knock on the front door with my dog in my arms. Can I run it through the MRI? I think it swallowed a matchbox car. We put it through the MRI. We see the little Tonka toy. You go, hey, it looks like he's going to pass it. Bring him back. We'll throw him through tomorrow, see if it's moved through the digestive system. God, what a gift to the neighbors. The neighbor knocks on Tommy, sprained his ankle. Bring him in.
It would be a nice move if you had somebody over, right? Let's say the kids are playing out in the yard. One of the kids falls and like, oh, my God, his arm's hurting. And then to spring a surprise MRI on someone that doesn't even know you have a machine.
Oh, my God.
Bring him inside. For what? For the MRI.
And you go like this. You go like this. You go, we'll take him for an MRI. And they go, no. We don't need to get the car. And he's running down the hall. And then, it's right next to the gym. What are you doing?
It's in my MRI room.
I think if you had an MRI machine and Joe Rogan was over, even Rogan would go, wow, guy. Now, can't you get cancer, though, if you go into that thing too many times?
I don't know. That's what I'm saying. You know, you don't even know what the hell is happening to your body in this MRI machine. It's like, do you need an MRI to see what the MRI did to you?
Yeah, I don't know. You got to do your MRI, and then you got to do a blood test to see if you got cancer from the MRI. I don't know, bro.
Here's what. What does MRI stand for? Do you know?
Oh, no. Hey, not even close. I didn't even think about that. It does stand for something, but you're right. Yeah.
No idea what it stands for.
Nothing. I couldn't even guess.
Is it something to do with radiation, like micro radiation?
I don't know, maybe, think it's the initials of the dude who invented it. Michael Ryan, something like I riffed the other day on stage out of nowhere. I go, I said something about terry cloth, and I go, did the guy who invent terry cloth, was his name Terry? If he was, wouldn't that be a nice touch, bro? Fucking shit.
Here it is. Yeah. Magnetic resonance imaging.
Wow, man.
Would have never got it.
So when do you get the results back? Did you
tomorrow?
Oh, yeah.
Nice. Tomorrow. But they gave me a disc with the images on the disc, but no explanation. Right?
Yeah.
Now, I got nowhere to put the disc. I mean, they're still giving discs. Oh, come on.
I got my MRI disc right here. I got mine right here somewhere, one of these drawers. Yeah, in case I ever go somewhere else. That's how rare the MRI is. Like, if you got an MRI, they'll, you want one? They'll go, have you had one the past couple of years? Do you have the disc? It's like, just give me another one. What is this, some magic fucking machine? Turn it on. What is it, $1 million every time you photograph a foot?
I don't know. Jeez. That's a good question. I don't know how much this thing costs. Like, what do you think a typical MRI machine goes for? Let me look this up. We have no producer, by the way. Nothing.
I can see them giving me my disc, but you're like, you sell out the garden. If I need a new MRI, I'm getting a new MRI. You think I'm going in? Or I got my discs from 2022. Besides, it can change.
All right.
Yeah.
New MRI system costs $1.2 million.
Oh, that's a weekend for you guys.
Oh my god. Oh god, that's funny. That's it.
Yeah, but I don't know, man. You look at your dad, you know? And your dad he's just living life. You know what I'm saying? Like, you can't, you can't worry yourself and try and beat this, whatever's coming your way, you know? I mean, Jackie, yeah. I think she, from what, you were telling me about, to your brother-in-law there, and my dad, past, 2 months, man, she has been on my ass about, I go grab a Reese's cup, a little one out of the thing. I don't want to be alone. Grab an apple. And then,
I don't blame her.
I eat the apple, bro. Apples. I know we talked about this. They suck on a level I can't even describe. Every bite is painful. The best, most delicious fruit in the world isn't even half as good as the shittiest fucking candy bar. Sorry, man.
Oh, God.
I don't know.
Oh,
I mean,
man.
What are you eating now? What are you eating? Are you eating like Tom Hanks in Castaway? All fresh fruit, fresh everything, fresh organic.
It's all pre-made meals, chicken, rice, vegetables, No snacking, you know, no, it's all water, you know, just eliminated everything. Gatorade, no Gatorade, none of that stuff. Just water, it's boring. Water, chicken, rice, vegetable, avocado. Nothing where I'm starving, but nothing where I'm enjoying what I'm eating. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, but then when somebody out of nowhere says, you got a nice neck, you're like, that, I like that more than all those foods I miss. I like hearing that.
Right? I'd forego the pizza if someone says I have a beautiful Adam's apple.
Do you think when the person said neck, they thought to themselves, I'm gonna hit him with something no one hits him with so he remembers me. I'm going neck.
The guy that told me is a personal trainer. So he goes, yeah, you could tell in your neck there's muscles starting to pop out around the neck. And I'm like, man, if I got neck muscles, things are starting to pop and show, right?
Now that's why you got to keep that shirt open like that, guy. And that's why you got to start going with these little babies. Look at that. I'm telling you, bro, I showed you a photo. It's my new look underneath. I was in Walmart and I got them, the undershirts, right?
Yeah.
$6 for $20. I was on the road a couple weeks ago and I'm like, I like my unbuttoned shirts. Same thing, right? You want to show that neck area. But I'm like, it gets cold in the winter. I need something for the draft. But I don't want, I can't stand when guys wear button shirts and you can see the t-shirt underneath like big time. It's like, hey, you got, man's got a chest. Show your chest. You're a man. It's like a rhino covering his fucking horn. What are you doing? You know? So I said, I need something to cover the draft. So I went to Walmart and I'm bringing it up because I doubt it, but I don't, you probably never ever bought a piece of clothing at Walmart, I doubt, right?
I have bought maybe a pack of underwear at Walmart. Maybe.
Even something like that. Like, because this is what I was buying was this. And I was in my town before I was leaving my town to go on the road. So I first went into the men's clothing area. I thought I saw someone that I might have known. So I do a hard right. And it wasn't someone I know. But then I slide in. Bottom line, I'm buying t-shirts in Walmart the way you shoplift. Like, I don't want anyone to see me, so I quick grab them. And then you try to make a beeline to the register with no one seeing you and do a self-check, swipe, out. I go to Walmart all the time. That's fine. No problem with that. But I don't need someone walking out and they're like, you got clothes? You buy?
You're buying clothes here. It literally puts you in a whole different world once you start walking out with clothing at a Walmart, right?
How embarrassing is this? I'm doing all my leaves and I'm tired of ruining my good jeans. I said, fuck this. Last year, I bought a pair of $20 Wranglers at Walmart because I'm like, I don't want to ruin my own jeans anymore.
Yeah.
I'm raking the other day. I got this on. It gets hot. I got this and a t-shirt over it and the jeans in my head. I'm like, oh, my God. I'm full Walmart. My wardrobe. That is sad, bro. But it was to rake leaves. It was to rake leaves.
Right. Hey, you know what? Every clothing item at Walmart does have a purpose.
I'm going to Walmart.
That's the Walmart way.
So keep it up with the working out, dude. Keep it up.
Working out. Everything's good. We're on the right track there. Had a party this Sunday. Oh, God. Lana, you know, love her to death, but she gets a little out of hand with these parties. It was a saloon, country western-ish type party. Bring your country western hat and boots and what have you, right?
Dig it. Adult party or kids?
Adult and kids. We had a mechanical bull in the yard. Eh?
Oh, my God, bro. How cool is that? That's like a dream of mine to try one of those.
Yeah. Mechanical bull this woman got. Then we had a dance floor with two line dancers to get the party going. We had the barbecue slab, which is a big barbecue place out here. Did the barbecue along with my buddy Dominic. Had a full bar. a bouncy house, and Milana goes, there's a surprise coming. Now I'm in the yard. I turn my head, and 8 goats walk in the yard. So they set up a little makeshift petting zoo for the goats.
Yeah.
Awesome. And on top of that, you could milk the goats if you want. They had 2 milking stations for goat milk.
What the fuck? I didn't even know you could milk a goat.
You can. Goat milk.
I have nipples, Greg. Could you milk me?
Did you do it?
Of course.
You you milked an animal?
Yeah, I was. I grabbed that udder, and I got to tell you. I was looking at myself do this, and I go, "Can I own a farm?" It felt natural, and my daughter went into the caged area with 8 of these goats, feeding them, petting them. By the end of the party, she looked like she was one of the handlers. That's how comfortable she was in
there. Yeah, wow. Now, first of all, that's what the guy, when you make movies, you start to gotta invest. You get yourself a ranch. You hire a ranch hand to make everything nice so when you come home, you can just, you know, milk a goat if you feel like it. Or you can go take a nap. You know what I'm saying? It's not like you're... But
yeah.
Is it like milking a cow? Like you sit on a little stool and they have a little stool, bucket,
and what you just squeeze from the top, right? First, you kind of cut it off, and then you kind of just squeeze.
What was it like taking like trying to get toothpaste out of something from the?
Yeah, that's similar.
And
quite easy, you know, actually.
When it comes out, like is it like drip or stream?
No,
or?
Stream of piss.
How do you know when he's got no more?
There's no more left in the udder. It just, you know, but that wasn't the case. You know, I could have sat there forever and did it. So, I don't know. So my question to you is, and I haven't got the bill. And I was talking to Lana before this party. I was going, babe, you know, I gave you a budget. And, of course, she blew past the budget. But my question to you is... For 3 hours, 8 goats at a party. What do you think that's going to run?
Oh, I see. I was going to break it down to, like, let's say at least 25 an hour per goat. So,
you got to be. Wait, 500?
I'd say 206. I'm saying like 650. 650 soup to nuts, and you get to keep the milk. Do you drink that, by the way? Did you lap that or no?
You can drink it. I didn't drink it, but you can. Hold on. Let me ask right now how much the goats were.
Wow. What a party, dude. What a party, though, man.
I have to tell you, the parties that we have, although I am very against it at first as far as the cost, the parties have become so historic that if you get an invitation to one of our parties... And you're getting married on the same day, you reschedule the wedding.
That's, are you guys getting a reputation, though, that, like, no, everybody RSVPs at the Maniscalco parties now?
Here's my problem.
Yeah.
And I can't mention who this is, obviously. It's 2 people, actually, that do this. You know what bothers me on the invite to the party? We do, like, a paperless post through email.
Uh-huh.
There's 2 people that always RSVP within 5 minutes of the invitation going out, and it burns my ass like you wouldn't believe.
Wait, you're not flattered? You should be flattered.
No, you got, listen, when you accept that quick and it's consistent, it means you're waiting for it. You're waiting for it.
You're crazy, bro. You don't understand. These people may be going, they are so nice. Whenever they're having a party, we'll do a quick check to make sure we have nothing going on and we are there. We want them to know we are definitely there. We don't want them to think like we're pondering it. Of course we're coming.
every time we send an invite, within 5 minutes you reply, yes, we're coming. Come on, man.
That is quick. That is quick,
I'm not into that. So I'll find out. I got the question in for the cost. So I'll let you know, hopefully by the end of the cast, what that is.
$17,000.
What's your take while you're talking about friends like that? I want to ask you about the uncle situation. Let me explain, right? I'm at the bus stop today with my daughter, and the bus driver's name is Joe. And he's pulling up, and there's other families there, our moms and dads, you know. And one of the moms says to her son, Uncle Joe's pulling up. It's Uncle... A bus driver was out for a while, so when it pulled up, he was back. And she goes, hey, it's Uncle Joe. He's back. And he's a friendly guy and a bus driver, but, you know... Uncle, he's a bus driver. And then a friend of mine, I can't get too into it, but you ever have someone you're not related to them, but they refer, their kids refer to you as Uncle Pete, right?
Yeah.
And there's no blood thing there.
No.
So then when I had a kid, I'm saying, like, let's say the guy's name is Hank. Hank is saying, this is Uncle Pete. And then when I had Sadie, I go, hey, Sadie, this is Hank. I'm not going to Uncle Matt because you're not blood.
I'm not into that. This is your cousin. This is your uncle. This is your... And they're not. I don't know why people do this. It's Uncle Sebastian. And I'm like, hey, I just met you at school. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, and I got every... That's an insult to my nephew.
Yeah, it's an insult to my nephew, and it's like, we ain't family. And what happened to, what it is replacing is Mr. That's what it's replacing. What's wrong with saying Mr. Corielli? This is Mr. Corielli, you know, not Uncle
right?
Pete.
I grew up calling all my dads, all my buddies' dads, you know, Mr. You know, like they call my dad, sometimes when we got older, they call him Mr. C. But, you know, it was always Mr., you know? I remember one time my sister's friend said to my father when they were out of high school, they just graduated high school, and she goes, they were at a barbecue in the backyard, and she goes, can I call you Fred now? And my father goes, no. You know, to the day you died, it's people I'll still call Mr. because, you know, I did when I was a kid.
No, you know, that's the way it should be. Mr. Not Uncle Pete, Uncle Sebastian. It's,
That's a weird thing.
It's disrespectful.
So, by the way, yeah, what?
$1,500 for goats.
$1,500 for goats.
For 8 goats in the yard, 3 hours. Can you imagine? That's going to be a discussion. but I got to tell you, worth every penny.
They were a huge hit, right?
Huge hit. So much so, Mario Lopez came to my party, right?
Nice.
The guy, right, with his family.
Yeah, I know Mario. Every time I go to a hotel room, he's telling me what movie to watch.
So let me tell you about Mario Lopez. First, this guy comes into the party, right? And I grew up on this guy, Slater, right?
Yeah.
I was actually kind of jealous of him back in the day when I was a teenager because this guy was ripped to shreds. Man, this guy had muscles when he was 12.
He was Slater?
Yeah.
He was that AC, one? All right.
AC Slater.
Yeah, but I wasn't a fan of the curly hair. You know, I thought the guy with the blonde was the cool one.
Oh, you like the blonde. No, I go dark. Dark hair, curly, regardless. You got to go dark complexion. So, he comes into the party. We talk a little bit. I said, hey, you know, there's some goats if you want to milk a goat. And he goes, he kind of laughs. And then he sees the goats and he goes, I thought you were kidding. I go, no. It was a full goat station over there. So, about 25, 30 minutes goes by. I look on the dance floor. Mario Lopez is on the dance floor doing the dance with the line dancers, two of them.
Yeah, yeah.
Better than they are. Right? This, yeah. Lopez is dancing better than the line dancers I hired.
Yeah.
Then he gets on the bull. And he's riding the bull better than anybody in the party. Right? Then he's milking the goat. This guy did everything at the party above and beyond expectations.
Mario! He'll be at the next one. You know what, though? I'm liking... See, I like hearing this kind of stuff because right away I hear this about Mario, and I like a person that comes to a party and gets involved. Yep. Do the stuff.
Yeah,
getting out there on the dance floor. Nice.
Yeah,
man.
I like a guy or a girl who utilizes the festivities at the party because what it does, it breaks that barrier and other people start to dance or other people start to milk the thing. You know, it gets people involved. So he's definitely a great guy to have at a party.
Hey, Zach.
Yo.
Let me give you a take on this. Party was 11 to 3 I put on the invitation. So people that were there at 3:30 still, and they were saying, "Oh, I'm sorry, we're still here. I know it said 3 o'clock, but we're having so much fun." I said, "The reason there's an end time to the party is not necessarily to kick people out at 3 o'clock.
Yeah.
What it does, it gives the people a time frame and lets them know, hey, between 11 and 3, this is when the food's going to be out. The drinks are going to be out. If you come at 2:55, chances are there's not going to be anything left to do. So I told the people, you could stay till 7 o'clock in the morning if you want. The 3 o'clock deadline is basically an indicator that tells the party at 3 o'clock, we're putting the food away.
Hey, man, baby, the udder is no more. The goats go, no more milking, no more nothing. Hey, yeah, I dig it. And also it lets them know, you know, if you don't want to come and eat and leave, so what time is it where I can politely leave? Well, 3 o'clock. If you leave at 3 o'clock, it's fine. It's technically when it's ending anyway.
Well, here's the problem with the end time. Then you got people coming at 12, 12:30, 1, 2 o'clock. It's all scattered. So you invited 100 people, but let's say 50 come between the hours of 11 and 12. Another 25 show up between 12 and 1. You never get the whole party there at once. But if you put 11 and no end time, then you get the party there kind of around that 11 o'clock hour.
Yeah, that makes sense.
And here's another problem I got. If I say the party's at 11 and you show up at 10:55, man, that's worse than replying to the invitation within 5 minutes.
That means
you were waiting outside.
That
to come
pisses
in.
Me off. More than that, that means that you think that I'm sitting here doing nothing, waiting for everyone to show up. I said 11 because I'm not going to be ready till 11. Don't knock on my door. Yeah, I got a problem with that. My mom always comes early. Drives me nuts.
Yeah, I don't mind the mom so much coming early.
I'm trying but to make a presentation for my mom, and she's ruining it because she's early, so I'm not ready.
I get it. But here, I give you an example. If the party says 11, and I think we did this with the A-Rod J-Lo thing.
Yeah.
When they invited me to dinner, it's like, when do you show up? If you're at a party at 11 o'clock, when do you show up? 11:15, 11:30, when are you coming?
I'll be there by no later than 11:05. If I'm getting invited to someone's house for dinner, then yeah, like 11:05. But if it's a party, hey, we're having a Christmas party. It starts at 11 and it goes till 2. Yeah, I'm probably rolling about 11:20.
It's a good time. 11:20, 11:30. Let the party get kicked in a little bit. 30 minutes, I say, is a good time. Bartenders to get settled in. Food to be hot.
Yeah.
11:30. So take that to the bank, people that are listening. 30 minutes after the start time of a party is when you should show up. A little lifestyle note here from the Pete and Sebastian Show.
That's it, man.
The Pete and Sebastian Show.
Right.
wrote down some stuff I wanted to bring up. First of all, you know, I don't know if there's like, this is conversational, but you ever have like, I had two today. We don't discuss them much in life. Near catastrophes, right? Like, yeah. The first one, I got my dog and I let him in the back of the car without, I usually put him in a cage, but I'm letting him do his thing. He likes to stick his head out. Now, when I pull back up to my house, I forgot that fucking dog was even back there. So I quick, right away, I'm still cranking the music. I flip up automatic window on the right side. Boom, you know? And then I'm just about to do the left. I'm like, oh, my God. And I look over, and my dog's head was out the left.
Ooh, yeah,
but if
yeah,
it was out the right, I would have decapitated my dog. I forgot he was even back there. He's a little dog, and I just went like that, you know? And I don't open it much, so he can only get his head out like a fucking guillotine.
Oh,
and then,
God.
And then I go, I go, oh, fuck. And then I get out, you know? Like I literally almost decapitated my dog, and I just go... Right?
Shrugged it off.
Shrugged it off. Then a buddy of mine comes today and he puts in this special camera for me. And we got to run some wires in my basement. And he goes, I need this outlet. So I got two freezers down there. We keep all of our meat and spreads and stuff in these freezers in the basement. So I switched the wire and plugged it in somewhere else. And then later on today, had to be 6 hours later, I go, oh, shit, I should just go get my hat. I'm going to want it tomorrow, and I left it down there. My hat, I was going to not even get it till, like, tomorrow. But I say, let me go down the freaking basement, because you got to go outside my house to get my basement. And I go down there, and I'm like, I don't fucking hear a freezer. And I open them up, and it's starting to melt. And I'm like, oh, shit, the one I plugged it into only works if you have the switch on. So I had to quick fix it. And I accidentally happened to go down there for a hat, and I saved $500 worth of meat going bad, guy. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah.
And these things happen all the time, and we just poo-poo them. And then when something bad happens, we go, oh, my God, my life sucks. We have to remember... Yeah, my life sucks right now, but I almost decapitated my dog on Tuesday, so that's good that that didn't happen. Can you think of any, off the top of your head, something where you're like, oh, my God, I can't believe I... Even like, the other day I went to... I got this new blower from my father-in-law, really nice leaf blower. He got me for my birthday. It costs like $4. It's fucking awesome, a gas one. And I put it down behind the Tahoe to do something, and then... I was about an hour later, I got caught up talking to a neighbor, and then I had to leave, and I was about to hop in the Tahoe and back out. And then right away, the neighbor waves to me again about something, and I get out to talk to him, and when I go back in the Tahoe, I go, oh, shit. The leaf blower was, like, right behind the back. I would have ran over the thing if my neighbor didn't. So, you know, can you think of those?
The only one that really pops into my head...
Yeah,
it was 12 years ago. I was taking Lana to the airport here in Los Angeles, and I was down, I think, Aviation Boulevard. And this at night, about 9 o'clock, I think she had a red eye. And I'm driving. I was talking to Lana, and she goes, "Watch out!" And I turn, and there's a guy right in front of me. Where I slammed on the brakes, and I missed him. But it was one of those where that could have changed the trajectory of my life if I killed a man riding my car. And that's my biggest fear of, I don't know if you've ever been on the road and let's say you're backing out of a grocery store lot.
Yeah.
And you're looking at the video camera, whatever it is. But do you ever go, did I just fucking run over someone?
You hear a thud or something like that?
Not even you hear a thud. It's almost like one of those, like, you didn't know you hit him. And then as you peeling off, you look in the camera and you just see someone laying.
Oh, shit.
That's a fear of mine. Just hitting someone. Especially the older I get.
Yeah.
I was leaving a parking garage today, and I, you know, how you go up and, you know, around and around and around. I had to literally try and figure out, am I going to make it? Is my car too big for the turnaround? Like the parking structure's been there for 30 years, and obviously people have been getting out fine, but I'm sitting there going, am I going to get through this narrow thing?
Yeah, I hear you. Now, you got to, let's say you're going through that parking garage, and let's say some dude, even let's say he's high, and he comes running through, and you hit him, and you kill him. I wonder, because I've thought about that too, like, even if I wasn't wrong, like, could I ever truly enjoy anything ever again? Like, would I, like, be having a steak dinner on Christmas Eve, and I'll have a bite, and I'm like, oh, yeah, fucking guy. Well, my chewing going, feed 12 years later, you're chewing going, you shouldn't have been on Aviation Boulevard. It's not my fault. Lana's rubbing your back, you know? It's like, I don't know, man. Shit.
I don't know, man. I don't know what the legality behind that is. If you hit somebody and they, let's say they wander out into the street, 55 mile an hour traffic, and you pick somebody off at night because you didn't see them.
Right.
Is that vehicular homicide?
Yeah. No, I guess it's not, but it's a slippery slope. That's why we get so pissed off when someone's biking over the shoulder or they're walking. Like, you ever just drive by and someone's walking in the dark right by the shoulder, and in your head, you're like, what are you doing? Yeah. You don't care about them. You care about the hassle that your life would be if you hit them. You know what I'm saying? You know, you're looking at them like, what are you doing? You almost ruined my life by me killing you. It's true, though, man. You know, you got a good life going, maybe had a half a glass of wine. Some schmuck comes running off his driveway with no fucking reflector helmet. Oh, man. Damn. That's a fear of mine.
Oh, God, that's true, man. It's like you're mad that they almost screwed up your life. You could care less if you took their arm off.
By the way, speaking of mad, I'm just saying, actions have consequences, all right? So that's what I'm about to say. Did my yearly leaf rake job with that blower I was telling you about. I mean, I have a ton of leaves, and my town comes with a giant vacuum and scoops them up. But it usually takes them a couple days to come, and when it's windy, it's annoying, the leaves blow. So having a corner lot, I could either put them on this road over here or this road over here. And wherever one I put them, they're going to blow across the street and be annoying to the neighbor. So you know what? Where I put them? I put them where they blew. I was telling my other neighbor this today at the bus stop. The guy, I go, yeah, see, I got my leaves where they're blowing. He goes, yeah. I go, I knew they would do that, but I chose his house because of his signs. During the past, they weren't on the same page as my signs. So, you know, you think, you put up your sign, nobody, you did, that's your own deal, and there's no repercussions. But now you got a day of leaf raking.
Do you have signs?
What?
Do you have signs?
No, I don't have signs, but he had signs. And that's it.
You don't put signs up.
No.
You don't put signs up, and then people wonder why they get their windows broken, and somebody shits in a bag and leaves it on their porch.
Right. Right. Look out your window and you go, why would he put the leaves there? He knew they were going to blow on my side. I don't know. Why would he have done that? Why would you bang another stake into the ground, guy? By the way, all them signs everyone put up by me, they're for the...
Who are you going to vote for?
Out. Yeah, that's an edit. So not worth it, bro. Yeah,
so not cool. Worth it to get this shit. Oh, my God.
I was trying to put together a... Italian take, and I only looked up one thing, but it kind of blew me away. Guy in India was trying to kill his wife, right? So he put a python in a bag next to her bed, and it eventually came out of the bag and it bit her. But she got to the hospital quick enough for the venom, and she was saved. And everyone just thought it was a python got in there because it's India and that shit happens, right? Year later, he doesn't even want to play any games. He buys off a dude a cobra, and while she's sleeping, he walks in and he throws it on her bed. She died.
Wait, did the cobra bite her, or did the cobra
bit her as soon as it landed?
Swallow her?
I don't even swallow a guy. This is like saying, are we going beluga whale caviar here right now? What are you talking about? Cobras don't swallow, guy. They're the ones with the fat neck, you know, face.
Yeah, I know. But like, when they kill, their prey.
Right.
Their jaw dislocates and they suck the thing into their body.
Oh, I thought they just kind of kill you and they. I thought they only ate like mice and stuff, but they'll kill anything if it's.
I don't know.
They can do full python, like get that whole
a python. Listen, I've been watching this stuff on Facebook. Sometimes I scroll down and I hit the videos that are like python attacks alligator. Right?
Yeah, yeah.
There was a Burmese python. And apparently these pythons are very prevalent in the Everglades of Florida.
So heard about that.
And they're attacking alligators. Now, to me, on the surface, I'm thinking an alligator could take a python no problem, right?
Anything. Apex predator. That's what I thought. I didn't think an alligator looks over its shoulder ever.
So this thing bites the alligator in the face, right? Ching! Gets him. Alligator bites the python. The alligator has one of the strongest bites and grips in the kingdom. It can't penetrate a python.
No kidding, man.
Yeah.
Wow.
So this python's wrapping himself around the alligator. You know how the... You ever see a snake kill like a gerbil?
Yeah, it chokes it out. Yeah,
it chokes it out, right? And the alligator, you know, got out of it. But I'm thinking, does the python look at the alligator and go, "There's no way I could get this thing down my throat,"
right? Yeah. Right? I mean, the other snakes look at it and go, look at you go. You got it, Tommy. You got it. You got just the tail. All you need is the tail. Oh, my God. And then if you did swallow the alligator, when do you got to eat again? Like 2024? Right? I mean, seriously. How good are you? You must be good for a month after something like that.
I think it would take at least 16 months to digest.
I've seen one of them specials, bro, though. They get them snakes in Florida that are fornicating like crazy. They're breeding, and they go and they hunt them, and they're like 20 feet long, man. Holy shit. I would just nuke the whole fucking state. Everybody get out of the state. We're going to nuke it, kill all the snakes, and then we'll move back in nice. There's no snakes in Scotland. Did you know that?
No.
In the whole country, no. Man. In the whole country. There's no snakes. Yeah.
Well, it's funny. In Alabama, where I was for 2 months, and I think I mentioned this on another podcast, that the most venomous snakes in the country are in Alabama. Right? Even when we were filming, they said, watch out for snakes. Now, listen. What do you mean, watch out for snakes? It's not like you could hear the shit coming.
Yeah.
By the time you figure out there's a snake around you, it's on your leg, right?
Right, yeah. What does that mean? Tiptoe?
I don't know. Look on the ground and look for things slithering. I gotta say, listen. If a Burmese python got around your torso, do you think you could escape?
Well, do I have access to my cell phone to make a call? And like.
You and the python. You and the python. Just that's it. Like, you think you could escape the grip of a python if he's got you in his wheelhouse?
I don't think so, man. I mean, because I would think I would take a rock and try to bang its head, but I mean, you're telling me an alligator can't bite through it. I'm not going to do nothing with a rock, right? Can you stick your finger in its eyes?
I don't know.
Gross! Do you think... I always wonder, like, I hate snakes so much. Like, if you're a snake and you're in the swamp, And like Florida, do you have the wherewithal to know, like, this is fucking disgusting? Or do you just think, like, I'm living, baby. This is my loving life.
I'm on vacation, man.
I'm on vacation.
He's old. and his skin is cold.
What's the show? What's the show topics you wanted to talk about?
People want to do. They're clamoring for another Sebastian impressions. If you're down,
I gotta tell you, it's over.
There you hit. There you go, guys. You hear it. That's it. No more impressions.
Take a walk.
Fair enough.
I mean, we could do it. We could do it, but yeah.
Hey, no, I hear you. No problem. No problem at all. I wanted to ask about that. And, and I'm coming out to L.A. If you're around that week, I'm out there. We could do one together. Could do a game show. Got the
family. Got the family. Got the wives. That's a possibility. I still have to look at that Easter weekend.
All right.
Couple things I want to send out to everybody. We have... Well Done is now on Food Network. A lot of people are saying, I don't have Discovery Plus. I can't watch the cooking show. It is now on Well Done, or now on Food Network. Well nice. Done. So check out the first season on Food Network. Very critical that you guys take a look at this within the next 4 or 5 weeks. That will determine whether or not they're probably going to pick this show up again. And I really had a good time watching it. So I need you guys' help on that to tune in to Food Network to watch the Discovery Plus show. Now, just some shameless plugging here. We did have our tickets go on sale for the first half of 2022. Just going to rattle some dates off that are on sale right now in St. Louis, Kansas City, Syracuse, Minneapolis, San Antonio, Austin, St. Augustine, Florida, Des Moines, Davenport, Green Bay, Vancouver, and Seattle. Those shows are on sale right now at SebastianLive.com.
Nice.
Also coming to where? Atlanta and Tampa and Baltimore this week. And then you can catch me in Hershey, Pennsylvania, and in Boston at the TD Garden after Thanksgiving. So, also doing Jimmy Fallon on Tuesday night in New York City. This Tuesday, Jimmy Fallon. And earlier in the day, I will be on the Today Show promoting not only the tour, but the Well Done being on Food Network. So those are the plugs. What do you got on your end?
All right. Saturday. This is the Saturday after Thanksgiving. I will be in Annapolis, Maryland. The following week, December 2nd through the 4th, I will be at Laugh Boston Comedy Club in Boston. DJ Lou's coming to that. Jimmy from Boston's coming that weekend. So that's in Boston. That'll be a lot of fun. Then December 11th, I'll be at a little theater in Minneapolis. And December 17th, I'll be at the Sellersville Theater in Sellersville, PA. And go to PeteCorielli.com for all my 2022 dates. I'm going wherever they'll have me. So far, I'm playing everywhere from Woodstock, New York to Chicago. So PeteCorielli.com. That's also where you'd go to get the newsletter. I'm still sending that out. Subscription is growing, baby. So thank you, everyone, for signing up for that. And I have some thank yous that these are long overdue, all right? First of all, I want to thank Marie Shore. She's a children's author, and she wrote a book about beluga whales. And in the dedication, she put Sebastian and I in honor of the beluga whale caviar episode. Marie, that was really kind of you. Thank you. I want to thank Francie Holy. I call her Franny, but Francie Holy is an incredibly talented artist, a painter, and she sent Jackie and I a beautiful painting that we got dangling on the wall in the living room. Showstopper. So, just so generous and so nice of you, Franny, and I hope you're feeling better these days. It's just so kind of you. I also want to thank Stephanie DeNatale. Stephanie's family owns a frame shop in Middle Village, Queens, and Stephanie came to the show in Bananas with a framed cast T-shirt, man. So cool. I got that on my wall in my office, Steph. Carrying that into the show and all that and putting it together, I can't thank you enough. All you cast members, you're all, whether you send stuff or not, it's not about gifts. You're all so classy, man. And I thank you all for listening and just being as great as you guys all are. Got the best cast listeners. The Well Done show That's on demand, or do we have to watch it once a week at a certain time? What's the deal?
Yeah, new episode every Tuesday night, so check that out on Food Network. Other than that, this is the Pete and Sebastian Show. We will be back at you next week, loud and clear. Until then, enjoy your family, your friends, and keep milking goats.
Later, bro.
Take care.
The show has ended.
This guy did everything at the party above and beyond expectations.
Mario!